This is Mythical.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
The Kit Kat, saucy chocolate layered between crispy wafers. Could this sweet snack have a cheesy Italian cousin? Today we ask the question, is a Kit Kat a lasagna? This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What?
Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Hendy-Zada.
And today we are discussing if Kit Kat is a lasagna. So this came up. Why are you laughing?
Because the answer is clear.
Nicole, no, it is not. These are serious philosophical quandaries that we must take with respect. So this came up because we did, is a Pop-Tart a ravioli?
Sure.
And many people responded with, Pop-Tart sure ain't no ravioli, but a Kit Kat is a lasagna. And that got me thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I think a Kit Kat is at least more of a lasagna than a Pop-Tart is a ravioli. Because you got thin layers of some sort of wheat flour-based dough. Stay with me here, Nicole. You got
Milfoya.
Milfoya.
Milli Vanilli.
Hold on. Wait, Milli Vanilli, they were great. I don't care that they lip-synced?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, we all fake it sometimes.
All the time.
What do you mean?
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, totally. All right, so a Kit Kat is definitely more of a lasagna than a Pop-Tart is a ravioli. You have thin layers of a wheat-based dough covered with a sort of sauce. Now, I know you may object at the word sauce because Kit Kat obviously is solid chocolate.
Yes,
right?
It is.
What happens when you throw that Kit Kat in the microwave? It's melted
chocolate.
That's called chocolate sauce. What happens when you put a lasagna in the fridge?
It solidifies
into the same shape as a Kit Kat. What I'm saying is a Kit Kat is very similar to a lasagna, so much so that I'm willing to call it a lasagna. I am willing to take the side of the radical lasagna inclusionists. That is the radical left of the lasagna political paradigm.
Oh my goodness.
I am essentially Antifa of the lasagna world.
We should buy that domain name, Lasagna Antifa.
Yeah, do we have lasagnaantifa.org?
We're going to buy it.
Is that available? Can we get someone to check? So I'm willing to say it's a lasagna. I think it's similar enough, and I think to me the temperature situation, that is a compelling argument.
Okay. So you clearly think Kit Kat is a lasagna. What about other layered foods? What about a layer cake?
Is a
layer cake a lasagna?
No, because layer cakes are leavened past a certain percentage of density. I think you must take density into account. I understand. Now, we've made Kit Kats on the show, right? We did the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Kit Kat.
Yeah,
no,
it was delicious.
It was delicious. And we, frankly, used an unleavened sort of dough or batter to make that pastry crust in the middle.
We sure did.
Right? So, and that turned out very Kit Kat. Like, I understand that Kit Kat wafers are technically leavened. However, I think if you were to take a density reading of, say, something like a layer cake, which obviously layer cakes are, I would argue, club sandwiches.
Get me out of here.
A layer cake is a club sandwich. It's bread. There's no distinction
cake
between.
Cake isn't bread.
Cake is bread. Cake's absolutely bread. What? Banana bread.
Stop it.
There's two kinds of bread. There's quick bread and yeast bread, but both are breads because they got bread in the name.
Oh my gosh. Get out of here.
Well, okay, I'm
Marie
just saying.
Marie Antoinette said, Nate said, hey, Marie Antoinette, what's up, girl? Your people can't eat bread. And then she was like, let them eat cake. So they're not the same thing.
Yeah, and then they killed her because they were like, bread is cake, you moron.
No, it's not. Cake and bread are similar, but they're not the same. That's like, okay, you know what? Whenever you do this to me, I hyperventilate, low-key.
Yeah.
And right
my
now,
strategy in these debates is to get, it's like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope, right? Like, you get your opponent breathing so heavy that they just can't keep fighting in the later rounds.
Yeah.
Because later, you're just going to be so out of breath, they're going to start agreeing to random
stuff. I just think that's my angel.
I'm like, Mountain Dew is technically a bolognese. And you're like, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's got liquid in it, so I suppose.
No. First of all, the Kit Kat layer, the actual cookie layer, is not similar to pasta dough. Would you consider a cookie and a sheet of pasta to be the same thing?
How thin this cookie?
thin.
You talking about a Stroop waffle? Because that's sold.
Yeah,
a Stroop
waffle.
Does a Stroop waffle count as a cookie?
I
was
going to
bring
this
out the other day because they're sold in the giant bulk cookie bins at Whole Foods.
Yes, they are.
Which, if there's one thing the pandemic has made me miss, it's like emotionally intimate interactions with other people. But the second thing is the Whole Foods bulk cookie bin.
Oh my gosh. Because
now you can't do it. Have you seen what Whole Foods is doing in like their hot bar?
Yes, of course.
They have like an attendant and you gotta be like, yo, give me a scoop of the brown.
Do you know how much that sucks that I can't steal Little Nibbles anymore?
That's the worst. This has stopped you from committing the smallest of crimes, stealing an olive from the Sicilian olive drum at Whole Foods.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Don't even get me started on the olives that I used to taste test, quote unquote. I would stand in line, buy the olives, but by the time I got to the cashier, it was like a 3/4 of the way done. And I was just spitting the pits into my palm.
Did I tell you I got called out? I got called out for doing that by a Whole Foods cashier once.
You did?
But I did it unknowingly. I was buying like a box of cherry tomatoes. You know, you go in the Whole Foods produce section and they have little boxes of cherry tomatoes and it just said like, you know, $4.
It didn't say per pound.
No, well, I didn't see it, but I also can't read and I have an astigmatism. So this is where the conflict arose. So I grabbed this $4, what I assumed was a box of cherry tomatoes. Why else would you like put them in a box if they weren't pre-portioned?
Sure.
And then I was just snacking on them in line at the cashier, figuring like, oh, it doesn't matter. It's four per box. And the cashier like kind of looks at me and says like, enjoying a midday snack, huh? And I thought she was just kind of like
being
bantering
cheeky
with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, they're good tomatoes, you know. And then I just kept eating them. And she was like, seriously, are you going to pay for those? And
oh,
I was
no.
like, oh, it's $4 per box. So I figured I was just buying my rights to the box. And she was like, it's per pound.
Oh,
and
man.
And I was just like, I don't know what to do.
Oh,
and she was
man.
Just like, I'm just going to charge you $2 extra. Like, okay. She just decided. I was like, okay, one lady. I didn't eat half this damn box. I had, like, six cherry tomatoes. It's not worth $2.
Oh,
but I was
so
too
sorry.
Embarrassed to fight it.
It's okay. Whenever I used to go shopping with my mom, we would both finish the cuties box. You know, the cuties ice cream box. And then we just throw the box at the cashier, like, and we felt so deep. And we would take the wrappers, and we would, like, fold them up and, like, put them in between, like the cans and stuff. She taught me some bad habits. I love my mom, but like that's a bad habit.
I would love to see a total tally of how much. I love how we have a sponsorship from Kroger on the YouTube channel occasionally, but I would still love to see a tally of how much we have stolen from grocery stores over the years with our little nibbles.
$300.
Unintentionally. So what I'm saying is a Stroop waffle, as seen in the Whole Foods bulk cookie bin, I think would be thin enough to be reasonably considered a sort of pasta dough.
I don't think that makes any sense at all. Pasta dough has no sugar in it.
Well, I mean, this comes down to a sort of semantics issue of what you consider to be like food proxies, right? The Choco Taco. Do you consider the Choco Taco to be a taco?
I think the Choco Taco is one of the most brilliant culinary creations of all
one
time.
One of. It's the most brilliant.
I love Choco Tacos.
Agreed. Choco Tacos are fantastic.
No, I think it's a confection that happens to be in the shape of a taco.
But like what actually separates a Choco Taco from a taco? I've had some like I've had some very legitimate, because I think the tortilla could be, you know, the answer here.
Is a tortilla?
Exactly. Especially the fact that like flour tortillas, there's this big movement. So many people think that flour tortillas are inauthentic and corn tortillas are authentic. But now there's this big movement, especially from people who are from like Sonora and Baja, Mexico, and just, you know, Mexican-Americans who grew up in the U.S. who are just like, yo, my family been eating flour tortillas for 100 years. Like, why are you telling me they're inauthentic?
Exactly.
So if you say that, like, you know, a flat, you know, disc of some sort of dough made from either corn or flour or possibly even an alternative can be a tortilla, why not, you know, a waffle cone dough batter?
What, is a KFC double down a sandwich? Because
of
bread?
Course.
Oh, my gosh.
A KFC
gosh.
Double down.
No, it's
one
not.
More layer on a KFC double down, and that becomes a lasagna.
Get
as a,
out
as
of
a member
here.
Of the radical left lasagna inclusionary group, find us on Facebook. We're mostly Russian bots, actually Belarusian now if you follow the news.
Belarus.
Who thought that we'd covered the Belarusian autocracy problem in this podcast about Kit Kats? I sadly did.
Josh, there's no way on planet Earth if I took two KFC double downs and I presented them to you, like, here, have a slice of lasagna.
No, I don't necessarily believe that that's lasagna. I think the case for the double down being a sandwich is slightly compelling.
No, it's not a sandwich. It's just two chicken patties with stuff in the center.
But to me, there's some element of intent to that. And I think this is where maybe my argument for Kit Kat being lasagna is sort of moot.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, a KFC double down being a sandwich... Moot.
What does moot mean?
Is moot a word? Did I make it up?
Ryan said moot today. And I was
really?
Like, what are you saying, Ryan?
Ryan's in my head. Moot seems like a word. It means like kaput.
Moot? Definitely.
Yeah, look up moot.
Oh, moot means subject to debate, dispute, or uncertainty.
Ah, my argument is moot. I tell you.
You are just a moot person.
Whenever I say moot, I think of mutabal, the lovely Armenian eggplant dip.
Same.
Ah, delicious. Anyways, I think intent does come into play because they double down. The intent is for you to eat it as a sandwich.
Yeah, but you don't eat a you don't eat a Kit Kat as a lasagna.
Exactly. That's why I'm now rethinking my radical lasagna inclusionary.
It always happens.
That's the thing. You know, they say when you grow up, when you're young, if you're not a radical leftist lasagna inclusionist, you don't have a heart. But as you get older, if you're not a right-wing radical lasagna conservatorianist, then you don't have a brain.
That's
what everyone told us growing up.
Yes.
And we didn't think it was true, and here we are.
Yeah, that's what they told me in grade 5.
There was an interesting thing about the double down. Shout out to New Yorker food columnist Helen Rosner, who opened my eyes to the fact that the double down is just chicken cordon bleu.
It sure is.
Which to me is really funny because the double down came out, so many people were like, this is why America is obese, which one, shut the hell up with that. It is so, anytime we make anything that's just like, I don't know, fried chicken covered in chips, which is like not even worse for you than just normal fried chicken.
It might be a little worse.
Yeah, but I mean, the chips
are hydrogenated oils.
I suppose so.
Oil.
Yeah, you got some. But anyways, that's not the reason America is obese. The reason America is obese, and I don't even want to get into, you know, the whole argument about what obesity actually means for health and all that, but like, you know, our nutritional problems can be traced to just like government decisions about corn subsidies and poverty and food deserts in the inner city. It is not because of one person making a chicken sandwich. Sure, the conditions to make that chicken sandwich and have a market from it could have arisen from national culture, but like, nah, one sandwich ain't the reason.
I don't think so either. No, I don't think one sandwich is the reason, but I do think it is a product of the government and everything that we've created.
Spam. I blame spam. Spiced ham in a can. It tastes too good.
Is that what spam stands for, spiced ham?
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this. Spam is a portmanteau for spiced ham.
I love the word portmanteau.
Portmanteau is my
favorite
word.
You say portmanteau more than I say like.
You know why? Because it's a Jeopardy word. I learned it from Jeopardy.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
The intent of Kit Kat, right, is not to eat it.
It's a candy bar.
I got the tuna egg burps.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing. I ate a bunch of tuna eggs. Not eggs from the fish of a tuna, but I scrambled tuna with eggs. I'm trying this new macro counting diet.
It's going really well for all of us.
It's going pretty well for me. Nicole and Trevor kind of just make fun of me a lot in the kitchen. Go, Josh, no, don't put the yogurt in the eggs. And I'm like, I got to put the yogurt in the eggs. It's got proteins in it.
I had to stop you from eating a Funyun today.
That is true. I ate half a Funyun.
I will enforce the macro power on you.
We normally like to be body positive on this podcast, but now that we're talking about radical left-wing Kit Kat lasagna inclusionary, I think we're all over the place ideologically right now.
Josh, you cannot sit here and tell me that you think a KFC double down is a sandwich and a lasagna is a Kit Kat. You can't do that. That makes no sense.
Hold on.
Your world is just all kinds of topsy-turvy.
Hold on. Okay. Let's look at lasagna and what it really means, right? We're talking about the casserole style of lasagna because the intent of a Kit Kat is to be eaten as, you know, a sort of snack, right?
Yeah,
it was invented in Britain for like...
Don't ask me.
It was like invented in Britain for people on their tea breaks and then they were like, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, and so they would break it. And apparently there was a single tester in every factory where after a Kit Kat would come off the line, they'd take it and make sure it broke cleanly,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was really stupid. until we made our own Kit Kats,
yeah, QC, and
they didn't break.
Real.
They didn't break cleanly on camera,
mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hate myself when that happened. And so now I understand we should have had a factory worker.
Trevor is our QC for the most.
Trevor's
part.
Our QC.
Yeah, he kind of comes.
Wears
in
a lot of hats around here.
Yeah, he really does. God bless him.
He's mostly our swag doctor.
He prescribed me 50 milligrams of swag after each meal. Okay, what
so
I'm trying to.
How do I set it? You go. You go.
Pasta sauce, cheese, pasta sauce, cheese.
What is pasta sauce? Meat. What is pasta? You keep saying this term pasta sauce
tomato,
like I know what you're talking about.
And
oh,
or.
Oh, tomato's the only sauce.
I'm not done. I said and or. You don't even let me talk the whole way. Tomato and or pesto and or white sauce. And then you put vegetales or meats. And then you put the quesos. And then you do that.
Quesos.
And then you do that like another like 70 times until you are satisfied with your lasagna creation.
Nicole, you're a fancy woman, right? You like nice things.
I'm honestly pretty.
You tweeted the other day that you wanted the Louis Vuitton face mask, I believe, to prevent COVID, but also look swagging. That was, I believe, what you tweeted. Can you confirm this?
No, I tweeted and I said that the world's morality is rotten to the core and I cannot believe capitalism has done this. And then in small font, I said, where can I get this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're a fancy lady who likes
I'm fancy, yeah.
So I'm sure you've been to LA's coolest, hippest, fanciest Italian restaurant, Bestia, correct?
Once with my teacher.
I know. Like, who could get in more than once, right? Oh, such a fancy place.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever have, they had an oxtail, I believe, casareccia?
No.
Where the pasta dough was made with cacao powder in it. Nicole, that was chocolate pasta dough. It had raisins in the sauce. I'm saying there are sweet chocolatey pastas that exist in the Italian culinary canon.
And
why
I got
can't
that.
What?
And I get that. That's fine.
Wait, did you actually have that dish? It's
no.
really one of the best. It's like no. truly one of the best pasta dishes
no.
in LA.
When I went there, I had a saffron agnolotti. It was really good. But no, I have had chocolate pasta before. I've had Nutella noodles and like all that stuff. But like, I don't understand why you think Kit Kat was made with the intent to be a lasagna. It wasn't.
It certainly wasn't. But I think we need to look at, is there a universal term? It's like, to me, the argument of like, is meatloaf a sausage?
Where it's a meatball.
What?
It's force meat.
It's not technically force meat, but some sausages are force meat. So force meat, we're referring to bologna and hot dogs where the meat is like fully blended and emulsified with other things. So it's kind of smooth versus other fresh sausages like bratwurst where it's typically a coarser grind. So sausage to me is an overarching blanket term for this like ground meat mixed with other things. And it doesn't necessarily need to have a casing because then what is Jimmy Dean breakfast sausage?
Yummy.
Or what is Mexican chorizo fresco?
Even yummier.
Even yummier. Oh, that's the tuna burps.
Josh!
I'm so sorry. That's the yogurt.
Oh my gosh.
It was fine until I added the yogurt to the hot scrambled eggs and then it sweat so you got a little bit of yogurt condensation.
Ew!
We
Why
need the macros,
are you doing
Nicole.
This to me?
What I'm saying is there an overarching term for a like layered carbolicious food that we can kind of apply to a Kit Kat.
I don't think there has. It's a confection. It is a confectionery.
But there, of course, are like different subcategories within the confection, right? Just because something is sweet doesn't necessarily make it out of another category.
No, but
in.
I don't think it should fall into the category of a casserole, which is what a lasagna is.
I may agree with that. In fact, now that I'm thinking about it, I believe I do agree with that.
Thank
that
you.
Kit Kat is not a lasagna.
It sure is.
However, I think there needs to be a, let's call it an empirical term to describe a layered dish like that I believe lasagna would fall under. So I'm now switching my argument, Nicole. Kit Kat is not a lasagna.
Ugh.
However, both lasagna and Kit Kats are Napoleon.
Oh.
A Napoleon.
Quel fantastique.
Quel fantastique, indeed.
I know what that
Zut is. Zut alors.
I love Napoleons.
Tu écoutes à Fatal Bazooka? That's my favorite French rap group. Yeah, so we're talking about Napoleons or millefeuille. They're the same thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is the French pastry that is, it's puff pastry layered with cream, puff pastry,
it's either creme cream, pat. It's either a creme pat or it's whipped cream.
Yeah,
depends.
So it's some sort of whipped cream, but we're saying it's some sort of layered wafer.
100%.
Filling, wafer, filling, wafer, and that can be crispy or, you know.
Have you ever had a soft Napoleon?
No, I haven't, but man.
It defeats the purpose.
This is tough.
A lasagna is not a Napoleon.
Mm.
But a Napoleon, but a Kit Kat is a cousin, direct descendant of a Napoleon.
I still think there has to be some sort of overarching category.
Why? No, there doesn't.
These layered foods.
There doesn't.
That, Nicole, that's how the brain works. That is the reason that man overtook lizards. Actually, I read an article and I think it was something about mushrooms. No, I didn't read an article. Lucas yelled that at me during an episode. But anyways, that is the reason man overtook lizards, is the ability to take different things, put them in categories. Predator versus prey. Poisonous flower versus unpoisonous flower. It is our ability to reason and categorize that has caused us to evolve.
I understand.
We are on the galaxy brain of evolution with this Kit Kat lasagna debate.
A Kit Kat and lasagna are so different. They're from two different planets. Women are from Venus. Men are from Mars. Kit Kats are from Neptune. Lasagna's from Mercury. Okay?
Yo, what was that book about? Was that Steve Harvey?
No, that's another book. I think that's like the 90-day rule or something.
Still
like that.
The same kind of like,
yeah, it's
women
just,
and men are different. Buy my book to try and
yeah, try to find
why.
Out why yeah, you're yeah. still single.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, I think you feel bad about yourself. Buy my book.
Yeah, yeah. The reason why you're single is because you don't understand women. Yeah. The reason why you're single is because you don't wait 90 days before you have intimate relations. You know?
Oh, was that Steve Harvey's whole thing?
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. His mustache is so intense. What I'm trying to say is they're so drastically different just because they're layered foods. Does not mean that they need to be categorized together. Why do you have to say that?
Nicole, that is the whole essence of our podcast. A hot dog is a sandwich. Some could argue that hot dogs don't need to be categorized.
What? Or is it?
But I'm saying this like need to categorize is something that is as old as time and something that philosophers have tried. Like, what is knowledge, Nicole? Like, are we just staring at reflections of the shadows against the cave, or are we truly outside the cave? Will you take the red pill?
Is that Pluto? Or
Plato.
Plato, sorry.
Plato.
I was thinking about planets.
Pluto?
I was thinking about planets again. I'm sorry.
If you were thinking about planets, then you wouldn't be thinking about Pluto. Pluto is so disrespected.
Kit Kat is not a lasagna. Pluto's not a planet.
Pluto is a planet.
Plato is a philosopher.
And Plato. Could you make a lasagna out of Plato?
Yeah, if you're like playing.
No, I'm saying like edible. Like if you, would you accept that as a lasagna? If you rolled out like Play-Doh?
If my niece was like, hey, Nicole, I made a lasagna and it's out of Play-Doh, I'd be like, om nom nom nom. Is that what you're asking me?
How recently have you eaten Play-Doh?
Like actually?
Yeah, yeah.
Or pretend eat?
No, like actually eaten.
I don't eat Play-Doh.
You've never eaten Play-Doh?
No, I... Why
but you know that's
that?
A thing, right? That people...
It's edible, yeah.
Yeah.
Like pica.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, not even pica. I mean, if you think about Play-Doh, it's literally like a dough you're supposed to play with, so it is just made from dough ingredients. Yeah. I've eaten Play-Doh pretty recently.
When?
It's not bad. Oh, like a year ago.
Why?
I want to try it.
What color was it?
Red.
It tastes like red?
It kind of tastes like red. No, it's like really kind of salty, but it didn't taste dissimilar from if you made like a salty kind of cinnamon roll dough. Like it has that pliability to it.
Yeah, okay.
And so I was like, yo, I get this.
No. But if a kid was like, hey, I made this lasagna and the yellow sheet is the cheese and the white is the pasta and the red is the sauce, and then I layered it on top of it and rolled it out, and I'm like, here you go. Of course I would pretend to eat it.
Where'd you find this kid?
I am surrounded by children.
Put him back.
Mine? No, don't be silly. Lasagna is a toy.
I came up with an answer. Final answer. Kit Kats are not a lasagna, and they're not a Napoleon or millefeuille. Kit Kats and all other layered foods are merely parfaits. I am now a radical parfait inclusionist. I have switched my allegiance from the Antifa lasagna, and I am now like a black block parfaitist.
What's a black block
I don't
parfaitist?
Know. I'm repeating terms that I've read on the parts of Twitter where I'm just like, oh, I shouldn't be here. I should be doing my work, but I can't stop scrolling because the algorithm's designed to make me keep scrolling. But no, hold on. Think about this. Parfait, right? The only thing we can say about a parfait, because it doesn't have to be fruit, doesn't have to be yogurt, it can be anything, right? If you
sure.
went to say like, you know, I don't know, Pinkberry, and they were like, our parfait doesn't have any fruit in it, it's got like granola and some chocolate chips, you'd be like, yeah, it's still a parfait. Shout out Pinkberry, parfait is one of the best yogurt confections out there. But I think a parfait can just be anything layered. So I would argue that a lasagna is a parfait, and that a Kit Kat is simply a parfait, especially when you melt it. It can't be temperature dependent.
A parfait is not even in the same grouping.
Not yet. Because the people haven't been woken up.
I would... sheeple? Listen to me, sheeple. Parfaits are more like lasagnas than they are like Kit Kats. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay, a lasagna is a parfait. We'll say that. A lasagna is a parfait.
Because it's... What makes a lasagna a parfait?
Layered, liquidy...
But liquidy, that's temperature dependent.
What do you mean? It's how
I'm saying when the cheese when the cheese solidifies in the fridge, because you've cut a slice of hot lasagna versus a slice of cold lasagna.
Yeah,
right?
You gotta let it rest a little bit.
Yeah, let it rest. I mean, you take a lasagna straight out of the fridge and you slice that. That is solid. There ain't no liquid there. That liquid is
seized
up.
Are you eating it that way though?
I might be eating it that way.
Why?
Does that if I throw a Kit Kat in the microwave? Intent. Does that? That's fair. Okay, hold on.
Who eats cold lasagna?
I am now rethinking my position on the radical left. Lasagna inclusionism my black bloc parfait inclusionism. I think I'm just a classic, like, Trotskyist trifleist. I believe all these foods are trifles.
Oh my God. No way. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? You are just talking about layered foods like it's your job.
Well, that is
no,
my
no,
job.
No, no, no. A trifle and a parfait are the same thing. I agree with you on that. Trifle and parfait, same exact thing, just different delivery mechanisms, different stuff in between. Whatever. Fine. Well, lasagna. And where does lasagna come in? Where does Kit Kat come in? You can make a Kit Kat parfait. You can make a Kit Kat trifle. You cannot make a Kit Kat lasagna. You can you can make a Kit Kat lasagna. You take the Kit Kat and you put it on the bottom. In the middle, you put chocolate sauce. And then you put marshmallows. And then you put another layer of Kit Kats. And then you put M&Ms. And then wild card chocolate-covered gummy bears, which are one of my favorite confections of all time. And then you put strawberry sauce. And then you put some crumbled up Pop-Tarts. And then you eat it.
I'm starting to rethink my position on my radical Antifa lasagna inclusionism and also my black bloc parfaitism and also my Trotskyist trifleism. And I think now I'm just a Maoist s'moresist. And I believe that all these foods are technically... No, I see your point about certain things being unable to be categorized.
I don't think
and certain things having a need because
everything.
What's I suppose what is the need to categorize? Like one of my arguments, we're never going to fully flesh out the hot dog thing, but I like to drop in little nuggets. One of my arguments for the hot dog, you know, possibly being a sandwich, who knows if it is if you had hot dog on the menu, like if you went to a cheesecake factory. I'm not saying a cheesecake factory, but a restaurant with a menu that's large enough. You know, like a diner.
Sure.
Like if you go down to like you know the NoHo diner or something, they got that big old menu, and if you see like omelets, pancakes, sandwiches on the menu, to have a hot dog underneath the sandwich blanket would totally make sense because you're eating it with your hands and spread.
Okay.
So that has a reason to be categorized. I suppose Kit Kat has no reason to be categorized as a lasagna whatsoever, or we have no reason to categorize all these layered foods because that is not what makes them similarly useful to us.
And we don't need to categorize them to evolve as humans.
But then how do we maintain dominance over the apes?
We don't.
You know, in all these movies where there's like small little animals kind of like swarming people, because everyone talks about the spiders could rise up because they outnumber us like 8 million to 1.
What was that movie with the spider?
Eight-legged
big
freaks?
Spider. No, the big spider.
Harry Potter. Lord of the Rings, both have
Denise
big spiders.
Denise Richards had a gun.
Oh, Starship Troopers?
Is that a big
spider? Well, yeah, they were, what were they called? Ryan
big,
would know.
Big spider.
Yeah, yeah, they were like arachnids. They were
arachnids.
They were bugs. Starship Troopers is actually a really incredible metaphor for just like American style fascism. It's a really fun movie. Not fun. It's a great movie. Casper Van Dien, come on the podcast.
So what have we decided?
So there are all these like very silly kind of philosophical leaning questions out there. Like, you know, is Pop-Tart a ravioli that we like entertain pretty fully? I feel like we fully fleshed that one out in its entirety
we
and
sure
decided
did.
Maybe. But with regards to Kit Kat being lasagna, there's no like need to try and categorize it as such.
I agree.
And I think that it goes even further away from the Pop-Tart ravioli paradigm. So at first I was willing to entertain with my radical Antifa left-leaning lasagna inclusionism. Mm-hmm. But now I don't think so. You kind of opened up my eyes with the fact that there's no reason that it has to be categorized like that. And it's certainly not a Napoleon. It's not a trifle. It's not a parfait. It's not a cake because it's unleavened, or at least minorly leavened. Cakes ain't crispy. So, I don't know. I think it's not a lasagna.
Kit Kat is not a lasagna. But what is baked ziti?
Tony Soprano's kid's favorite dish?
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
Can you do a beatbox version of that?
Nope. Psych. No, that is one of my biggest fears, is getting caught in a beatbox battle. Because I listen to so many beatboxing videos. Shout out to Swiss Beatbox on YouTube. One of the best, I'd say the best YouTube channel out there. In fact, all of their YouTube channels pale in comparison to Swiss Beatbox. Such amazing content from all around the world. But I will just make little beatbox noises because I'm listening to so many videos. So I'm just walking around the office just going like, just sounding like I'm farting from my mouth. And anyways, what I'm saying is, first up, we got Ashley MG2487. Cheap garbage foil wrapped Easter eggs are my favorite chocolate. That's cool. I think, okay, Nicole, how do you feel our Jewish version of this is, I mean, I grew up eating Easter candy too, is gelt.
Gelt
is cheap garbage foil wrapped chocolate coins.
I love gelt.
You love it? I hadn't had gelt in like a couple years, and then I went back to my grandma's, like maybe when I was 25 a couple years ago, and she like had some Hanukkah gelt that I'm sure was from like 2004.
Oh yeah, was it like bloomed and white?
It was bloomed, yeah. It has that like kind of fuzzy look on the outside of it, and I tasted it and I was like, this doesn't even taste like chocolate. It's just kind of chewy.
It's the worst chocolate. It's the worst wrapping, but it's so familiar to me that I love it.
Yeah, I just realized that wrapping doesn't exactly hold, like lend itself to freshness.
Oh, absolutely not. The opposite, actually.
There's just constant airflow into your chocolate.
The chocolate bends almost.
Yeah. There's so much stuff added to it. That said, so much of what we love, especially from candy, is just like nostalgia.
I agree.
You know? And so, yeah, I'm with you. I love garbage chocolate.
All right. Hey, underscore, it's underscore me, underscore Isaac. I used to hate al dente pasta, but now I prefer it over normal pasta because it isn't flaccid.
Flaccid.
You said flaccid.
The word is pronounced flaccid.
Okay. Because it isn't flaccid.
Thank you.
I love my pasta very al dente. Sometimes it's so al dente that like it honestly has a crunch to it. And a lot of the times when I make pasta for like my mom or my dad, they're like, why is this pasta crunchy? And I'm like, because it needs to be. But I love my pasta al dente almost to the point where it's like undercooked. And I think I just like texture.
I like texture too, but to me, pasta, I almost just want the squishy. This, I think, is where our palates diverge the most, is that I love overcooked pasta. Not to the point where it's like mush, but I just hate like when it's so al dente that, you know, when you pinch, this is how I learned to cook pasta from Rachel Ray. When you pinch the noodle in half, and if you can still see solid opaque white, and it's not done, I absolutely hate that. I hate when you get that little bit of raw flour taste. And what's really funny, one, a lot of people use the term al dente just to mean like undercooked pasta. But like you cannot cook fresh pasta to true al dente.
No.
This is the thing that I've heard Italian cooks say that I truly believe. And so there's a lot of people who are like cooking fresh pasta for like 30 seconds, then pulling it, and then they're like, it's al dente. And it's like, no, it was fresh. It's supposed to be like supple and tender.
Yeah, I'm talking about box pasta here. Yeah.
Have you been to Felix?
Not yet.
Evan Funky's restaurant?
No.
This is like one of LA's fanciest restaurants, and everyone was so hyped. Came out. I haven't been. I've never had the pasta, so I can't say. But it famously got left off the LA Times 101 Best Restaurants list by Jonathan Gold. And he said something like, the chef and I clearly have a fundamental difference in how we believe pasta should be cooked. And he always shades the under. And I was like, yes, yes, the best food critic in the world, R.I.P. Jonathan Gold, an absolute legend. But the best food critic in the world agrees that some pasta can be undercooked. To me, that's like a thing people are afraid to say, is that this pasta is undercooked, because someone's just going to go, oh, no, it's al dente. That's how Italians like it.
We should go to Felix.
Yeah, mushy pasta for the win. At Carter BH underscore, Arby's sliders are elite level fast food.
Did my dad write this? Does my dad have an Instagram I don't know about?
We have so much family history with Arby's. My mom and dad had their first date at Arby's, and that relationship ended real well. So Arby's sliders. I agree. Arby's is the most, and also shout out to friend of the show, Bill Oakley, who's an Arby's fan, even though The Simpsons had there was a famous joke that was like, I'm so hungry, I could eat at Arby's.
Josh, the fact that your parents had their first date at Arby's means that you're here. So it's actually a blessing. I'm so glad you're here.
A lot of lawyers got paid for a divorce settlement. And, you know, I ended up on this podcast.
I'm glad that your parents went on their first date to Arby's because I would have never met you.
That is true. Yeah, shout out to Arby's for that. Also, Arby's is just delicious. Beef and cheddar, give me that.
Arby's is my dad's favorite restaurant, and sometimes whenever he goes to Kaiser Permanente because his pancreas is bothering him, he makes me get an Arby's sandwich and take it to the Kaiser Permanente.
You've had to make Arby's deliveries to hospitals?
More than once.
So what we're saying is Arby's sponsor the podcast.
Please, my dad's
brought to you by beef.
Brought to you by Nicole's dad's pancreas.
Oh, God.
Okay. Lynn underscore 369 underscore GC. Japanese mayo is the best mayo. It's good mayo. My favorite mayo is the one you make by hand.
Yeah, my favorite mayo is the one you make Trevor buy from Ralph's because it's best foods.
Best foods. We have so much mayonnaise in the fridge right now.
Yeah. I'm counting my macros, you realize how much macros is in mayonnaise.
Oh, my God. It's just a macro factory.
To be clear, I'm only doing this counting macros thing for like a month because I went so far off the deep end one weekend of just only eating like literally hot dogs, pizza, lasagna, an Italian beef sandwich, and ice cream, like a whole quart of homemade ice cream. So we're just trying to kind of clean out the pipes a little bit metaphorically and physically. But Japanese mayo became really, really popular from a bunch of like kind of hipsterish restaurants in LA. Though it's called Q-Pie or Q-Pie.
I say Q-Pie.
I've heard like people I trust say Q-Pie, but I don't know. But anyways, it's the Japanese mayo brand with the baby on it. And I believe it has more egg yolks and MSG in it. Mm-hmm. And so everyone is all up on Q-Pie mayo. I just don't like the taste of it as much as something like Best Foods. I've heard Duke's is the best, but
Didn't
we have
Bill
never
Oakley
had it.
Did Bill Oakley say he loves Duke's?
Bill Oakley, he gets like Duke's shipped to him. Duke's and Coleman's mustard, which is delicious,
Coleman's
but I've never had Duke's. That said, Best Foods is like just fine for me.
Yeah, it's a good base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just mayo, vegan mayo is actually really delicious as well.
I don't do vegan
mayo. You don't taste the difference.
I just don't do it. Okay.
All right, at white guy 651, casseroles are the best way to get all your daily food groups in one meal. Yup.
Fruit?
Agreed.
Fruit?
Tomatoes.
Oh.
Did you know that tomatoes are a fruit?
Don't even start with me, young man. Don't even start.
No, I'm a big fan of just the one pot dish. Like, literally for lunch, I've just been eating this giant stew. I prefer stews to casseroles because I just like the wet.
I was raised on stews.
Yeah. Yeah. Choresh.
Choresh.
Choresh. Give me that wet choresh. There's some choresh in this house. Nicole, did you know that?
My mom is going to be so proud of you. Every time Josh speaks Farsi, I like record it and I send it to my mom and my mom just says, good boy.
Merci, Shala. Merci.
Let's see. Don't Call Me Caitlin says, my sister mixes ranch and sriracha and calls it Sir Ranchalot.
Oh my God, she's so clever. No, that's pretty funny and sounds good. Nicole just started mocking it, so I jumped in because I'm a sheep. You know, bullies, they're not leaders, they're followers, and I jumped in, and I'm sorry. That is a very funny joke, and I like sriracha and ranch. Thank you. At JoeSpencer24, internet chefs should talk about food safety more. They're the ones teaching people. Skip! Okay, let's talk about food safety. I think most people are looking at the wrong things when it comes to food safety, right? So people are like, oh my God, you're chopping vegetables on that raw meat board, and it's like, I'm putting the vegetables in a stew that I'm cooking for 4 hours. It doesn't matter. But then I understand why those rules exist in restaurants, that you have to keep everything separate because, you know, those are institutions that have government oversight and all that. But like in your own home, it's just like best practices. So there are still people who are, say, you know, rinsing their raw chicken in the sink,
which
is incredibly dangerous. The raw chicken rinsing in the sink problem got so bad in England that they had to stop selling raw chickens for like months at a time. They would only sell whole raw chickens in a bag that you like cooked in the bag.
Oh my gosh.
And
really?
They put out their health services put out a whole PSA that was don't wash your chicken because when you do, droplets hit the raw chicken and then just spray all over your
That's
kitchen.
True.
And then people are like, well, then just wipe it down. But the problem is people don't do that. You're not sanitizing every single moment.
I wash my poultry and I wash my beef, but I always, always, always Clorox the crap out of it.
Yeah.
After I'm not the chicken, like my surrounding area. My mom taught me to Clorox things.
Wait, why do you wash chicken?
I just do.
That's bad.
I'm sorry.
I think, yeah, food safety is, ugh, that's a whole mixed bag.
Yeah, I just like to wash my chicken because sometimes there's blood. And I know that blood is a part of an animal and I just don't want it in my food. And I just wash it and then I spray my whole area down with Clorox because I am healthy.
This is why we can't talk about food safety because no one agrees.
Different definitions of food safety.
Like government agencies have just come out and said, like, don't wash your chicken. Any harmful bacteria gets cooked out of it.
Whatever.
I talked to the head of National Resources Defense Council about food safety and expiration dates. Here's another thing. Expiration dates on your food absolutely mean nothing.
Okay. Okay. I said that one time and the food was expired a day after and I ate it. It was a cookie and I ate it and there was mold in the cookie.
Yeah, but the day before it probably had mold too.
Yeah.
Right? It depends on the storage conditions on where you put it in your cabinet. If you put it in a warm, damp space, it's going to grow mold. If you keep it in a cold, you know, dry space, it's not going to grow mold.
It was
But the dates mean nothing.
Yeah, no, I agreed. I agreed up until that point where I almost poisoned one of my photographers.
Yeah, well, that's not good. Yeah, just like, you know, smell things, but also most visible mold growing on things isn't what gives you the real bad foodborne illnesses, which we're talking about like E. coli, we're talking about Listeria, we're talking about Salmonella. If you eat something that's moldy, like, you'll kind of just throw it up and be fine. That is what I learned from interviewing an expert on it, because apparently I used to be a journalist and used to write stuff about that. The one thing she said was, like, never buy bagged salad mix. Because bagged salad mix, once you seal up a package like that, and the bacteria can just multiply.
Yeah.
And especially if you're eating raw greens like that. Like, I mean, so many of the E. coli outbreaks, some of the soup plantation near my hometown, a person just died from E. coli eating spinach there.
So scary.
So many different, you know, bagged Dole lettuces have been linked to Listeria outbreaks.
So scary.
So, yeah, like, most foodborne illnesses will come from processing like that.
Yeah.
Or cantaloupes killed, like, 50 people. A couple years ago, prepackaged ice creams were another big one. Bluebell had that huge outbreak.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because someone was licking them.
What?
Someone was licking the Bluebell.
I don't think that was the outbreak cause.
Someone was licking the
Bluebell. I know the video you're talking about.
There
someone
is a
licking...
person licking the Bluebell. Did they go to jail? They need to go to jail.
I think they did get, like,
they
charged or something.
They need jail time. Austin J. Baldy. Regular milk tastes gross, unless with cereal, or has some sort of flavor additive. Well, you're talking to a girl that has lactose intolerance. But boy, oh boy, will she drink a gallon of lactate, no problem.
Does lactate taste different to you?
It's sweeter.
It is sweeter, right?
It's sweeter. I think it's... Well,
Do they add sugar to it to just make it more better tasting?
I used to think, I don't know, in my head I was like, oh, they crush up the enzymes that makes it more sweeter, which is totally false. But, like, I love the way regular milk tastes a lot.
I do, too. I like milk-flavored milk.
Yeah, me
That's
too.
My favorite milk. I like only keep milk. I'll buy like a quart of milk every week in my apartment and just like put in my coffee
sure.
or use in cooking.
Yeah.
But the other day I was just like, I'm thirsty and I don't want normal water. So I just poured myself an ice cold glass of milk, probably for the first time in about a year.
How good was
it? I just like chugged 8 ounces of ice cold whole milk and I was just like, ah.
Yeah. Sometimes you need to do that. And I know it's like a vegan thing and like a vegetarian thing, but like I will, one day I feel like I'll be, you know, like grown up enough to not drink milk, but I love milk and I can't help it.
I have nothing respect for vegans, and vegan antagonism kind of pisses me off when people are like, eat some bacon, then you'll be less unhappy. You know, that whole thing is super annoying. Nothing but respect for vegans. But one of their arguments often about not drinking milk is that, you know, what other animal in the animal kingdom drinks another animal's milk to feed fully grown adults? That's crazy. Why would we do that? I'm like, yo, there's a lot of things humans do that other animals don't, like driving cars and writing poetry and stuff. So, like, it's kind of hard to
poetry?
You know, like, I don't know. I ain't never seen no deer drive a Hyundai and write a sonnet. So, you know, I think we can make some exceptions critically for humans and what their development has been.
Really
and I don't know if drinking milk is good or bad for people. It seems like the government.
Feel like it's
bad. It seems generally not great, right?
But it's a treat.
It's a treat. What a nice treat.
Treat I have every day.
And also the Got Milk campaign is the single greatest advertising campaign in history.
The white mustaches.
The white mustaches. Brilliant. There was one of white mustachioed Michael Jordan on my elementary school library wall.
There you go.
I'll always remember that. At Chrissy_401, ranch is the only wing sauce. Ranch ain't the only wing sauce. It's certainly the best wing sauce.
It's one of the best.
It is. Well, you're a blue cheese gal, right?
Oh, hundo P. You need to, okay, I already said this one time, but I'm going to say it again. You need to date someone who likes the opposite sauce on you with your wings. So whenever you get ranch and they get blue cheese and they give you two of each, like one of each, like you just pass it over. So you have two of your favorite and they have two of their favorite.
It's so funny how I diversify all of my sauce dipping so much. If I get fries, I'll have like ranch, sriracha mayo, ketchup, a barbecue sauce, a honey mustard. If I have those available to me, I will just dip in all of them.
All of them?
Repeatedly. Yeah, not at the same time.
Oh, okay, okay.
I love that diversity. But hot wings are a thing where I have, I've tried dipping them in honey mustard and anything like that.
Yeah.
Nothing comes anywhere near as close as ranch and blue cheese.
Yeah.
I am team ranch officially. I prefer the herbs and the freshness to the bite of the blue cheese. However, I also believe that blue cheese is technically ranch.
We need to debate this.
We need to debate this.
We need to have a debate.
The debate is forthcoming.
Winter is coming.
Ring the debate bell.
Winter is coming, right?
What?
I never saw Game of Thrones. I got it to season 3 and then I was just like, I'm bored of this scenario.
There was lots of burbage.
Burbage?
There were naked burbs.
Burbage?
Burbs.
What are burbs?
The burbs.
Boobs?
Burbs. And on that note, thank you. What note? Burbs? Thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. We've got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at MythicalChef or @NHendrizadeh with the hashtag OpinionCasserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pics of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
We will see you next time. Bye!
Bye!
Nicole, bye!
Bye, Josh! I'll see you later at the Arby's!